This morning, I want to ask you a very important question. Are you a success? Are you a success? You may ask, in what venue? Anyone you want. Professional? Parent? Husband, wife, child, friend, are you a success? Let me ask you a second question. Are you a spiritual success? You see, in other venues, it's easier to measure success. Because we measure success sort of as part of a process. And so if you're a student and I say, are you a success? You say, I got an A. Or I got a degree. In business, if I say, are you a success? You could say, I got the promotion. I got a raise. As a parent, I could say, are you a success? And you said, well, we got the kids up and out of the house and no one's in jail. And so I guess yes. In marriage, are you a success? Well, we're still together, aren't we? That's kind of how we measure it, so we're not really sure. But when I ask you, are you a spiritual success? There is a right answer. And the answer is this. It's too early to tell. That's a really important lesson that I hope we learn today from another bad example. And I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles Chapter 26, 2 Chronicles 26, and we're going to be introduced to the great King Uzziah. This is our final sermon in this series of good lessons from bad examples. And Uzziah is going to teach us plenty, especially when it comes to success. The very first lesson that he's going to teach us from the very first couple verses is this. You can be a success in spite of the past and in spite of your past. Uzziah was. You can be a success in spite of the past and even your own past. You see, it says in verse 1, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and they made him king in place of his father Amaziah. Wow. Now, that just sounds like a typical story. But there is a rest of this story as well. We need a context to what's going on here. 16 years old, Uzziah is king. Now, when you think about the past that sort of surrounds this, we have to go all the way back to the splitting of the kingdom that I talked about before after Solomon. And for the past 100 years, there has been a split between the 10 tribes of the north, Israel, and two tribes in the south known as Judah. There has been an on-again, off-again kind of civil war that's gone on that entire time. And nothing really good spiritually has happened in the country. But let me tell you a little bit about Uzziah's past. His father is Amaziah, as it says there. And he replaced his father, but his father was shortly then after assassinated. His grandfather was Joash, and he was also king. And he was killed by his own officers after a short time in office. His great-grandfather was Ahaziah. And Ahaziah had 1 year on the throne, and then he was murdered. Now, his great-great-grandmother, the mother of Ahaziah, Athaliah, took over the throne from her son, and she was executed. And so that's the context for this young man coming in to be king. In fact, there were 9 straight evil kings before Uzziah showed up. And yet he was a success. It says he built Eloth, and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. 52 years. From 16 to 68, he is king. He had tremendous success in that sense. Here was a young man that if you looked at the history of what was going on, and he's only 16 years old, you'd say, are you crazy? Why would you ever want this job? And he got it, and he was successful. You know, throughout the Bible, you get this theme over and over again, that whatever the past was, or whatever your past was, doesn't really have anything to do with how God can use you. And yet somehow, for all of us, we have this tendency. You remember the story in Judges 6 with Gideon. God comes up to Gideon, you know, and he says, I need a judge. I need this judge. And Gideon says, oh, no, you don't want me. He goes, I'm from the smallest tribe. In fact, I'm from the smallest clan in that smallest tribe. And I'm like the smallest guy in the smallest clan in the smallest tribe. You certainly don't want me. And God said, no, you're going to be the great judge. And Gideon said, I think you're going to have to prove that to me. And you know, he threw the fleece out and the whole story. Because somehow we believe that in some way that our past is going to limit our potential to be used by God. And it never is. Not from God's point of view. He really doesn't care about your family history, your family tree, or what you've done. It doesn't work that way with God. He has a very different way of doing it, and Uzziah teaches that. You can be a success in spite of your past, because Uzziah was. Now, if there was a verse notice then why Uzziah was a success in verse 4. It said, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He does it right. And then it says, he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah the prophet. He continued to seek God, who had understanding, and he says, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. There should have been his refrigerator magnet. That should have been the chariot bumper sticker. You see, for him, that should have been his life verse. Because what it says is, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He was doing very, very well. In fact, so well that he teaches us a second lesson. Not only can you be in success in spite of the past or your past, but a believer can succeed in many ways in life. Not just spiritual ways, but many ways. Uzziah did. And now we see sort of a list of his successes. And what an incredible list it is. First of all, in verses 6 and 7, look at the military conquest. Now he went out and he warred against the Philistines. And he broke down the walls of Gath. Gath is the hometown city of Goliath. And so he takes on the Philistines, just like David and Saul had. And he says, in the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped them against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal and the Munites. He has military success and conquest. Interesting, though, if you look at those words, he warred and he broke down, but he also built. And so you start getting an idea there's more to this guy than just being a military commander. In verse 8, we see his notoriety and respect. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah. Now, the Ammonites weren't even at war with him, but they saw what he did to the Philistines and said, this is sort of like protection money. You know, they're trying to protect them from him. And so they said, we'll give you money. We'll give you tribute because you're such a great warrior, as long as you don't attack us. And then it says that his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. That becomes important as the story goes on. He now becomes famous, probably from Damascus all the way to Egypt. Everybody knows about him. All the kings that were before him were forgettable, but not Uzziah. He has tremendous notoriety and respect. Notice the prosperity brings to the land in verses 9 and 10. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress, and he fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness. Notice how he's going to protect not only the holy city, but he's going to protect the area around the holy city. He's smart. He's strategic. He's using great military logistics here. And then it says, he hewn many cisterns. That's water, and that's what everybody needs in that part of the world. And he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields. And then an editorial note. He loved the soil. He loved the soil. He's a farmer at heart. He loved that. Here is a guy that not only was a great military leader, but here's a guy that fortified the cities in the area around it. But then look what he does. He brings prosperity to the land. He gives them water. He makes sure there's enough food. He is bringing both things to them, military conquest and prosperity. Look at the power that he has in verses 11 through 13. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jehiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. What kind of army did he have? The total number of the heads of households and of valiant warriors was 2,600. That'd be his officers or his best guys, sort of his special forces. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500. That's a substantial army for a small little tribe like Judah. I mean, this is something a little bigger than Rhode Island, maybe not quite as big as Delaware, but this is a pretty small area here. And he has a standing army ready to go, 307,500, who could wage war with great power to help the king against his enemies. And so, military conquest, notoriety and respect, prosperity of the land, and tremendous power. And not only that, he thinks about the security of his people. Notice verses 14 and 15. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields and spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. He was high tech. He was creating stealth weapons. You see, he was doing his thing. He didn't only supply his army, but he made sure they had technology. He's brought catapults in, apparently. He is using all kinds of things. He's forward thinking. He is everything you want a king to be. Has a great army, brings economic prosperity. I mean, we would vote for him, wouldn't we? This is what we're looking for. And he's forward thinking. He's a tremendous success. A believer can succeed in many, many, many areas of life. That's one thing that's important to understand as a believer. You can succeed in so many venues of life. To be a spiritual success, you don't have to only succeed by going to the mission field or into full-time Christian ministry. That's not the way God operates. You can succeed in all kinds of areas of your life, and that's what he's talking about. You can be successful in business, in family, in all kinds of endeavors. That's what Uzziah was. And then the latter parts of verse 15 gets disturbing. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped. There's God in him again. And then, like with every one of these bad examples and the good lessons, like every one of them, there's a pivotal verse or word. Here's the pivotal word again. Until. Everything was going along great until he was strong. Until he was strong. You see it coming. Until he was strong. Real success for the believer is dangerous. Real success in life is dangerous. We saw it with Saul. Real success is dangerous. It's a great test of your commitment to God. Because, see, when you have real success, you get notoriety. When you have real success, you get power. When you have real success, you get fame. And when you have those things, it has a tendency to go to your head. And that's what happened to Uzziah. Verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. So proud that he acted corruptly. What did he do? What was this terrible thing? For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You know the saying that if you don't learn from history, you'll repeat history. That would have been good for Uzziah. He should have read more about Saul. Saul had success and ended up doing exactly the same kind of thing he's doing. He decides now that being I am the most successful king in 100 years, and everybody knows it, and I'm loved by the people and feared by the enemies and blessed by God, I can pretty much do what I want. And by the way, why do I need a middleman? You see, why do I need the priest? I mean, a Levitical priest, and that's good for a lot of people, but I'm not a lot of people. I'm Uzziah. I am the great king. I'm going to go in there to the holy place. I'm just going to take some incense, and I'm going right in on my own. I don't need a priest to do this. This was incredibly foolish on his part. To say the very least, with all the stuff that he had going for him, what is the lesson he teaches is this. The third lesson is this. God doesn't mind you succeeding. He does mind you forgetting his role in your success. He doesn't mind you succeeding, but he does mind you forgetting his role in your success. And so we have this incredible normal sequence. Strong, proud, acts corruptly. Just the way it works. He bought his own press clippings, and it's fatal. It's fatal. You know, as a Christian, and if you're succeeding in any endeavor in life, please try to always remember who you are and what God's role was in your success. Don't buy into everything, everybody, what everybody's telling you about your success, because it can become absolutely fatal as it's going to him. By the way, he gets a chance. He gets a moment of clarity here, and he gets a chance, but it doesn't work. Verse 17, then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. 80 Levitical priests and Azariah enter and go right up to the king. Now, the reason they're called valiant men is not because they can fight so well. They're valiant men because they're willing to die for this. And they probably think they might. But they are not going to let him do this, defile the temple of the Lord. Reminds me of Jesus and what his attitude was when they defiled the temple. They opposed Uzziah, and the king said to him, he said, is it not, they said to the king, they said, is it not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense for the Lord, but for the priest, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense? Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you have no honor from the Lord your God. No compromise, get out. This isn't what you kings do, this is what priests do. You have defiled the temple of the Lord. Now, have you ever confronted or rebuked a really proud person? Somebody who's just oozing with pride, and you've confronted them. How's that go usually? You know, it's amazing, but you can always tell pride by the way it reacts to rebuke. And notice this. It says, but Uzziah, with a censer in his hand, was burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged at the... Enraged, there's that really strong Hebrew word again, that idea about as much anger, sort of like the wrath of God. He goes into a rage. Pride often does that. You confront a proudful person about something that's wrong in their life, and they go into a rage. Now, on the other hand, let me put it this way. If you're the kind of person that when people rebuke you, you go into a rage, you may have a pride problem. You see, you may have a real pride problem here. And he did. He goes into the rage, and I think they're all thinking now, 81 of us are going to die. He's the king, he can do what he wants, and he's going to kill us. But understand what God gave him here by this rebuke, this admonition. He gave him a chance to repent. He had his chance. He had a chance to repent right then. He should have said, you're absolutely right, I have no place in here. You are the high priest, and you're right, I'm out of here. But he doesn't. He gets enraged. And before anything can happen, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Wow. That's the fourth lesson. The God who made you is the God who can break you. First of all, understand the context. They couldn't even go near lepers, as we've seen in past messages. He's unclean. But this is a leper who's where? In the holy place of the temple. I mean, they're not even allowed on temple grounds. What are they doing? He's in there. Why did God use it in that context? Because leprosy in this culture is a free fall into humility. Soon as he got it, could you imagine it? They stopped and looked at him. He's trying to fill it. They see what's happening. What a scene this must have been. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. He thought, maybe this is just the beginning, it's going to get worse. So everybody comes running out. I always see humor in the Bible, but I think of 82 people running out of the temple things, you know, just trying to get out of there. They can't be near a leper in the temple. And he just wants to get out because he thinks it's going to get worse. But boy, did he learn a lesson from God. See, the God who made him is the God who can break him. And that really is the case. I would hope the aftermath of this would be better, but it's not. Verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. No miraculous healing, no going away. He wasn't all white either, so he didn't have the advantage of being able to go into a certain company. It says King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Jotham's a pretty good guy, so he did a pretty good job as a father. And now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belonged to the kings. For they said, Uzziah is one of the greatest kings of all time. Uzziah had a reign of 52 years. Uzziah was a great military leader. Uzziah had fame that went all over the region. Uzziah was a tremendous farmer and builder for the nation of Judah. Didn't say any of that. Here's what he gets. He's a leper. That's it. He's a leper. And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. How sad. He teaches us these lessons. You can succeed no matter what's in the past or in your past. There's no doubt about that. And he also teaches us that you can actually succeed in many other areas of life. Not just spiritual areas, but all kinds of areas. But he really does teach us this. God doesn't mind you succeeding. He just minds you forgetting his role in your success. And if you do forget because of pride, the God who made you is a God who can break you. What is really the biggest lesson of this, though? Beware of pride. That's what I read in this. I don't think there's any lesson that I've done in this series that scares me more than this lesson. It's a lesson I've devoted my whole life to thinking about. Beware of pride. Beware of pride. I can't tell you how many men I've known over all these years of ministry, very gifted men doing very wonderful things. And over again, just like the ringing of a bell, there's the gonging of pride. They have great success. Then there's pride. Then there's sin. And then there's shame. And you see it over and over again. As I've said to you in the past, I can remember Dr. Hendricks so much warning us at the seminary about this, and him even saying, you know, that be very careful. One of the traditions they had in the church, more so then than even now, was that the pastor always stand at the door and shake everybody's hand as they go out. And then when you go out there, as you know, if you've ever done that, you're kind of in an awkward spot because you want to be different. So if you just say good morning, you realize 121 people in front of you said good morning. So you want to say something nice. So you always say things like, you know, great message, whether you remember it or not, we're awake or not. It really doesn't matter. It's a great message. Dr. Hendricks called that the glorification of the worm. And I understood exactly what he meant by that from the story of Jonah. And the idea of it is, he said, don't believe that. Don't ever believe the press clippings. And he said, in a nicest way, don't really believe them. All that's really going to matter is what the Lord thinks. You see, and that's how you stay humble the whole time. And I think of Uzziah and how gifted he was. He's a fantastic human being on a lot of levels. But I compare him to someone like Paul. And when he dies, it just simply says he's a leper. He died a spiritual failure. But Paul, when he died, what did it say? He's in prison. He is waiting to be beheaded. And he says what? I have fought the good fight. I have run the good race. I have finished the course. Wow. That's spiritual success. You see, that usually ends with, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what it would like. You see, the beauty of it is there's no place for pride, because somehow pride makes you believe that you're indispensable. Let me explain this to you. You're not. Not in God's program. Not at all. As I close this section, I want you to turn to Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. The great prophet writes this. In the year of King Uzziah's, there's our guy. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Now watch what humility does. And then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined or undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. Uzziah leaves. Isaiah comes. You see how God works? Isaiah's greatness and the tragic and senseless demise of Uzziah. That's the way God operates. He always just keeps going on. No one is indispensable except God. Therefore, there is no place for pride. Beware of pride. Pride for the Christian is forgetting God. That's what pride does. It forgets God. Proverbs chapter 6 says, pride is one of the six things that God hates. Seven are an abomination, he says. But pride is right there, up front. In Romans chapter 12, pride is forbidden. Paul said, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Jeremiah said it this way, "Hear and give ear, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken." It is forbidden for us. In Daniel 5, Daniel says, "Pride hardens our heart." That's what it did to Uzziah, and he forgot God. And think of the illustrations of pride in the scriptures. Satan, Lucifer, Pharaoh, Saul, Hezekiah, Uzziah, the scribes and the Pharisees, Herod the Great, the Antichrist, making an image of himself for mankind to worship. Beware of pride, because pride forgets God. That's what Uzziah teaches us. Let's pray. Father, I'm afraid that, like many sins, the sin of pride is one that's so easily camouflaged. So many of us have it, and we live in a perpetual state of denial. And yet, Father, I really wonder, if we understand our heart, our desire to be center stage, our desire to take credit, our desire to have no one help us, our desire to not be dependent on anyone else, and our desire to forget what you have done, reveals our own heart of pride. Father, if there are any of those in this room today that are struggling in this area, may Uzziah be a warning to us that you can do great things through us and we can be a success on many, many levels, but you will not tolerate the kind of pride that forgets your role in our lives. Over and over again in the Word of God, we see the virtue of humility and the sin of pride. Father, may we always think of Uzziah as one who fell into the vast pit of pride. And may we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Take my yoke. I am humble and gentle of spirit." Father, may we understand humility is not weakness. Humility is never forgetting who you are in our lives and the role that you play in our apparent success. Father, I pray for each and every one of us this morning that when it's all over and we are asked, "Have you been a success?" we can say, "Ask our Lord." He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In his name we pray. Amen.